Does anybody know what the word, what the abbreviation QRM stands for? Well, you're about to find out, because we're above the noise, not part of it. Static, static, static. Like Steely Dan once said, no static at all. Political QRM.
Hello, everyone. I'm
no static at all, baby.
Hey, will you let me introduce us?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was caught in a moment.
Oh, okay. Caught in a moment. You should play Steely Dan. I love that. I mean, that was a great album. Oh, that was a great album.
They're all great albums.
Deacon Blue. Oh, that song.
Ugh, well, the biggest problem right now is here come those Santa Ana winds again because, I mean, California's on fire.
Again? Well, anyway, folks, let me backtrack a bit. I'm Anne Marie, and here's my partner in crime, the Reverend Lou, not to be confused with the Reverend Al Sharpton, who...
what do you mean partner in crime? I didn't do nothing.
You didn't do nothing. Okay.
I'm telling you, I didn't do nothing.
You didn't do nothing. Okay.
I got an alibi.
You got an alibi. I got 10 people that know where I am.
That's right. It's like, hey, you know that kid in that movie, I see dead people. You didn't see nobody. That wasn't my joke. That wasn't my joke. I borrowed it. Mike Marino. Another Jersey boy, by the way.
Jersey guy. Oh,
that's
my
right.
Gosh.
Jersey City. Jersey City, New Jersey.
Oh, my gosh. Tough crowd, too. Really.
Vinny.
Hit him with the bat. That half of our problems would be solved if we could say to somebody, Vinny, hit him with the bat.
Half.
Seriously.
Half our problems.
Exactly.
Are you kidding me? Half. Mingo.
My gosh, all the stuff that is going on nowadays. Oh, it just makes my head spin just to see everything that is going on.
It's funny, you know, we say we could get rid of at least, and I'm saying at least, you didn't say at least, I'm saying at least half okay. of our problems. If we could turn to say somebody, you know, Vinny, hit him with the bat. But you know what? There are political families in this country that do much more than hit him with a bat.
Oh, yes. And we are speaking about the ultimate crime family. I'll tell you, John Gotti, Gambino, and Bananos had nothing on the Clintons.
Nothing.
What
do they got on them? Nothing.
Oh, nothing. Oh, my gosh. I mean, I don't know if anybody has heard, because the regular media has kept it very quiet, but Julian Assange's lawyer had a freak accident. He threw
himself. She shot herself in the back of her head.
No, he threw himself in front of a train. Why would anybody throw himself in front of a train? Really? I mean, the man had everything to live for. He had a family. He had money. He had notoriety. Honest to goodness. Well, or fame.
Well, you know, it's you know,
that's
it's one of those things. You know, they you know, like some of the other people that died of natural causes.
Like Seth Rich. And
yeah.
I finally got his name right. Yes.
Yeah, he died of lead poisoning.
Yes, 27 years old. Now, let me tell you, I know D.C., I lived in the area, and there are bad places, there are good places, and every so often the bad people come into the good places. Believe me, if he was going to be shot for robbery, everything would have been gone. Honest to goodness, his shoes would have been gone.
They'd have found him naked.
Yes. They would have, everything would have been gone, especially the phone, for heaven's sake.
The phone, the watch, the wallet,
yes.
The cards, the cash, the car would have been up on blocks if they couldn't drive it away.
Exactly.
You know, the keys, and then they'd have took the keys and the driver's license, look where he lived, they would have emptied an apartment and everything else, you name it.
That's right. So for this to happen, no, I'm sorry, there's too many questions there. And he was...
I'm telling you, he died of natural causes. He died of lead poisoning.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's natural for your heart to stop beating when somebody blows a bullet in it from behind.
Yes, I know. Yeah, so too much is happening out there, which is, you know, especially this latest one with the lawyer. I mean, come on. It's too suspicious, don't you think?
Well, now, you know what? Paul Montfort got shook up out of Donald Trump's campaign this past week.
Well, you know what?
But he's not dead.
No, he's not dead. Exactly, because he's not part of the Clinton operation. He never was.
And that other judge that he worked for him, that other judge.
What?
He ain't dead.
Lewandowski, Corey.
Yeah, Lewandowski. He ain't dead.
New Hampshire guy, I must say. But let me. Yeah, I know. If it's the Clinton people, that's it. Anybody that has to do. Let me tell you something, folks. If you're thinking, but you know what, Bob Beckel. He came out and said that somebody should kill Julian Assange. Well, he killed his lawyer.
Yeah, well,
wait a minute. Now, if somebody had said that on the Republican side,
Somebody should kill somebody in the Clinton campaign or whatever.
Oh my God.
You know, look, Bob. You know, I used to like watching Bob on television.
He was
a funny guy. He is a funny guy.
Okay,
can't
I'll take
argue
your word
with the
for
fact
it.
He's a funny guy, but he's like the other Jizzle over here on the Blaze.
Look.
Anybody with the strength to turn around and face down the bugbear of alcoholism, God bless you. Mm-hmm. I wish you all the luck in the world. I wish you all the best. But when you get to a certain point, you have to flip that coin they give you and say, geez, you know, should I or shouldn't I? Mm. And sometimes it may not come out the way the rest of society thinks.
Yeah, I don't understand. Well, Glenn Beck's got his problems too, honestly. I mean, his network is failing, unfortunately. But, you know, we all make choices, and obviously he has not made a bunch of good choices.
Yeah, well, he was a single poster child for afternoon delight, you know, skyrockets in flight and, yeah. You know, that kind of thing, you know, so, and it's the kind of thing where you look around and you say, what the hell?
I know. He seemed to have the pulse of America at the time. And now it's sort of degenerated into some...
Hey, let it go to his head.
Maybe, yeah. That I think. I think he thinks he's the second coming of Jesus Christ. I honestly do at this point.
No, I don't think so. I think he thinks that he pushes Jesus out of the way and says, you're in my spot.
Probably.
You know, but that's aside the fact. You know, look... You know, one of the things, it is so much more important in this day and age. Mm-hmm. You know, we've talked about, you know, cultural things in the past.
Right.
But it is so much more important the way we're represented on the world sports page than on the world stage.
I know. You know, yes, you're right.
You know, with 240% more, or more than that, I guess, by now, because it's another day later since I read the statistic. 240% more time, airtime on the mainstream media dedicated to some, you know, some stunad that lied about getting robbed. And we're not sure he lied about getting robbed. I mean, we've got 3 minutes of missing tape.
Do we really?
You know, here we've got this stunad, you know, that...
There were four of them, though, Lou. Just four.
Whatever. You know, I mean, we're talking about the one in particular, you know, he turned around, we're spending more time worrying about whether he did or did not get robbed and whether he did or did not lie about it and whether or not his pants are on fire.
I know.
You know,
Well, then let's look at a lot of the omissions of the media in this past week. You know, let's face it. I mean, the fact that they were treating this story as the most horrible thing that could ever happen to the American public... Okay, and how their faith in these Olympic athletes has been, just cut down, and then let's take a look also at the, what the media is doing here with Obama. I mean, Obama's up on Martha's Vineyard playing like his 10th round of golf. And people down in Baton Rouge, they've lost their homes, 11 dead. People don't know what they're doing. And you have Jay Johnson, who's head of Homeland Security, saying that, well, the federal government's here, and, we'll be here for them and everything, and but, you know, the president can't be everywhere. And that was the phrase that he kept repeating. The president can't be everywhere. He's been closely monitoring the situation in Louisiana, right? And the thing is that people are saying, and he's being asked, why isn't he down there? And again, he just kept saying, as I said, the president can't be everywhere. You know, and it's just like, excuse me?
Well, in a few years ago, President Bush wasn't everywhere, but he was above the scene in an aircraft. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's the difference, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, well, President Bush was above the scene. He did not get to see the people directly, at least for a couple of days.
Uh-huh.
He did not get to see the people directly. He only saw them out the window of an aircraft at 2,500 feet.
Uh-huh.
You know, well, as opposed to the president, the current sitting president, who only got to see them out the window of a golf cart at 1,000 miles.
Well, you know, the funny thing is that George Bush was criticized by saying, oh, he couldn't be bothered to go down and see those people that were hurting, okay? Now, the reason George Bush and his administration said the reason that he did not go down there is because he would take away resources from people who really needed it.
Right.
You know, police and everything like this. Okay, so fine. And the media poo-pooed him and saying, oh, how dare you, selfish SOB, so on and so forth. And yet, do you know that they actually use that same excuse? They use that reason why Obama wasn't down there. Well, you know, he didn't want to take resources away from the people that needed it. What?
Yeah, but you know what? Donald Trump was down there the other day, and he said, don't you dare take resources away. I'll get there. You don't have to protect me. You don't have to guard me. You don't have to send motorcade. You don't have to send this to any other thing. Go about your business. I'll get there. Yep. I'll get there.
And
he did.
Yeah, he was criticized by the governor at first, okay, and said, well, you know, this is a political photo op. And he, well, of course, let's face it. Let's get this straight. The governor down there is a Democrat. So he said, well, you know, he's coming down here for a political photo op, and, you know, we just don't have time for this and everything like this. But Donald Trump came down there with a bunch of food stuff and water.
And more.
And medical supplies.
Wait, no, more than that.
Really?
And I'll tell you what. One other thing that has already been starting to make the rounds in social media, it shows him standing there, and what he's holding in his hand, you know, you'd think, well, maybe it's, you know, I don't know, Enfamil or ramen noodles or whatever. Well, what he happens to be holding in his hand is a 4-pack, 6-pack, whatever it is, of Play-Doh.
For the kids?
And it's like, you know, the left wing is going crazy, like, oh, yeah, that's just what they need. What, there's no kids misplaced?
Yeah, a lot of them are.
There's no kids who need to be able to say, look, there's colleges for which people are paying 100 G a year for the kids to go to that are creating safe spaces with Play-Doh in it. You don't think a 6-year-old, 5-year-old, 4-year-old kid could use some Play-Doh in the face of this kind of adversity?
Exactly.
Not because words hurt. Not because, oh, somebody wrote Donald Trump's name on a sidewalk with chalk.
Yep.
Oh, my God, where's my Play-Doh and my rain sounds, you know, in my headphones?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But because a 4, 5, 6-year-old kid is sitting there, he doesn't have anything left of what used to be. Maybe he lost loved ones. Maybe he lost his dog. Maybe he lost his grandparents. You don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So Donald Trump's providing for everybody, not just food, not just water, not just clothing, not just shelter, not just a hot damn meal, but he's providing for the fact that there are children that need compassionate care.
Well, children
I'm sure all those people in Louisiana can eat Play-Doh.
Well, children have to be able to be kids, too. And this is the most important thing, especially at a time of crisis. The children have to have some way to be children. And this is one of the ways. I mean, if he brought Play-Doh, hey, good. You know?
Well, you know what it reminds me? You know what it reminds me? And help me out, because I don't remember the details. And I know it's going to, I know somebody's going to call us on it. You know, I don't remember the details. Mm-hmm. All right, but there was a disaster some years ago, a disaster. I don't remember if it was a tsunami. I don't remember if it was an earthquake. I don't remember if it was a volcano or something. And we sent down a task force, and at the middle of the task force was an aircraft carrier. And if I'm not mistaken, it was a French delegation that said, oh, the United States sent down an aircraft carrier. What are they going to do, bomb them?
Oh, that's right. I remember that, and I can't remember when that happened. Where was that again? I can't remember.
I want to say it was Central America, Caribbean.
Maybe, yeah.
But I might be wrong. I might be wrong. But the idea is...
You stupid idiots.
Well, not because, you know, an aircraft carrier can desalinate 5,000 gallons of water a minute. And they've got,
the
you know, four full hospitals in the,
got, like,
you know, built into it.
Yes. The you operating know, rooms in there. Oh,
all
my
this
God.
Stuff. You know, I mean, all this kind of stuff. And nobody turned, you know, and it's like, well, you know what? And whoever it was, I think it was at the UN, I guess, this took place, or NATO or something. And our delegation turned around and said, well, just for what it's worth, it's this, and this, and pointed out all the things like the operating rooms and the desalination plants and the amount of food they could carry and the amount of blankets and sheets and pillowcases and pillows and all this other stuff that they have in stock on board and how much food they have stored in their freezers and in their refrigerated compartments. Mm-hmm. You know, all this other stuff, let alone the fact that they got helicopters and they got aircraft and they got this, which can do monitoring and do rescues. And all. You know, oh, by the way, what did your country send?
Yeah, I know.
Yep. $60?
Yeah, I know.
You know,
you have idiots all over the world, and believe me.
So now here
France
we go.
Definitely
we got Donald Trump delivering Play-Doh. You know, which for Boone or Bain, I mean, it's the photograph is there, and it's not retouched or photoshopped. He's standing there with a package of Play-Doh in his hand.
Okay.
You know, but for what it's worth, you know, here he is with a. You know, they decide to tear apart this thing of Play-Doh. Mm-hmm. You know, in his hand. And I think anybody that has the kind of what it takes to tear apart that thing of Play-Doh in his hands for political purposes probably didn't get enough chance to play with Play-Doh when they were 6 years old, you know, and grew up maladjusted or something.
Yep.
You know, because in the meantime, while he's trying to help some five-year-old play with Play-Doh, oh, wait, I forget. Where was the sitting president at the time?
On the golf course.
Oh, where was his political? Where was his political opponent? She was taking a nap. Is that what it was? She was
taking a nap. Probably taking a nap, and then she had to. Actually, she was in Massachusetts at a benefit with Cher.
Oh, all right. Well, maybe Cher's qualified to stick her in the ass with diazepam.
Oh man, please. Yeah. Well,
because anything Cher knows about
Cher, it's needles. Yeah. Believe me, Cher knows a lot about needles because, you know, I mean, how much silicone does she have in her face and her body, for God's sake?
Well, I mean, you know, you get women like that and all these other ones, these Kardashians and Cher and all these other ones. And they join the left because they're afraid that if they pass laws preventing people from buying dead baby parts, they'll never have lips again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but let's get back to this thing with the media, though. I mean, here we have the media. They're spending so much time on the four swimmers that went down there, and for some stupid reason, they decided to get stinking drunk, and they trashed a bathroom at a gas station. Why? I don't know. But obviously, Mommy and Daddy didn't give them enough hugs when they were...
Mommy and Daddy, nothing. They're 30 years old.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Well, come on. How many Democrats are out there?
Oh, that's right. 30 is the new 15.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, and then for them to, I mean, they just glided over this thing with Obama and Louisiana. Whereas with Bush, I mean, they tore him a new one. But Obama, Obama. But you see, this thing is, folks.
Obama's one of the ones who did tear Bush a new one over.
Remember that? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Oh, he looking down upon them from 25,000 feet. Yeah. Okay. Well, the first thing is, it's just amazing. I, you know, it's just, It's just amazing. But the thing is that Obama is in Martha's Vineyard, and he stayed there, didn't say a damn thing, didn't make a statement, right? No, didn't do a darn thing. And
well, they're in the report.
That shows you folks exactly what he thinks of you. So there you go. I mean, he says, wait a minute. I'm out of here in a few months. I don't give a damn. I've gotten everything I want from these stupid people.
How much different would it have been if this was at this point in the election cycle in his first real election bid?
Oh God, he would have been down there. He would have been swimming down there, honey bunch. And plus the fact, what about all those wildfires in California? I mean, come on.
The unrest in Milwaukee.
Nothing. Oh yes, the unrest in Milwaukee. Everything. And he's over on the golf course.
He hasn't said anything about Milwaukee.
God.
Why? Because the cop that shot the perpetrator, you know, first of all, the evidence, because, you know, everybody pissing and moaning about the cop should wear body cams. Well, this cop was wearing a body cam, and the cop was African-American, and the guy had a gun and pointed it at the cop, so he died of, you know what killed him? Stupidity.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you know, but you have all those people that rioted in Milwaukee saying the cop shouldn't have done that. What? They basically wanted the cop just to take a bullet. That's what they wanted. They didn't want the cop to fight back. That was
I've talked about this before. And there was one commentator after one of the other famous, whether it was, doesn't matter which one it was. There was one of the other famous ones that started, whether it was the Ferguson thing or whether it was the Los Angeles thing or whether it was the, you know, whatever. You know, and some liberal commentator and the police department, the local police or sheriff's department took him on one of those live fire courses.
Right.
And the guy walked away saying, oh my God, I didn't realize it was this bad.
Yeah, of course. These people are idiots. These people are idiots. But we're wasting a little bit too much time on all this because we could go on and on and on with this, believe me. But we know it's Obama. Obama is now, you know, giving everybody the finger and saying, you know what, folks, I don't care how many people died down Louisiana. You know, I've got to make sure I can get past that bunker, you know.
Well, you know, it concerns me in a couple of different directions. So follow me here.
Mm-hmm.
Because of all this noise going on, even in the left media.
Okay.
About the issues Hillary may or may not be having health-wise.
Oh, no, she's healthy. Oh, my gosh, no. Well, she's the picture of health.
Picture of health, that's right. In the pink. Yep,
yes.
Yep, never better. Yep, vim and vigor. Yep, vitality, you know, personified. But if she's not.
Yes.
And everybody's like, why are they hiding this? Well, you know, what's going on? Where's the medical records? Where's the doctor? What happened to that color fellow that was behind her with the pen, with the, you know,
he's kind of gotten lost, too.
You know, what's going on? What's going on? Everybody wants, you know, inquiring minds, you know, want to know.
Exactly.
And, you know, what's going on? And nobody will talk about it. You know, there's nothing to see here. Move along, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what's going on. I'm going to tell you, if, you know, because you, don't tell nobody, all right?
No, I won't say anything to anyone. You're kidding. It's between
right.
me and you.
Here's how it works.
What?
Ain't nobody talking about it. You know why? Because we're inside of 50 days. Or not 50, I'm sorry. We're inside of 90 days.
Okay.
Okay, here's the gig. Something goes totally kerflooey. Now, it's too late to bring in Biden. It's too late to bring in Warren.
Right.
It's too late to anything. Sanders is, for all intents and purposes, busy on his desert island he bought.
Well, yeah, the payback.
Oh, whatever.
He's enjoying his payback. Yeah, the $600,000.
He's enjoying his paid back retirement that he's not sharing with anybody.
$600,000 home on Lake Champlain.
Yeah. In the meantime, something's going to go kerflooey, and they're going to issue an executive order followed by congressional action to suspend
the election. Yes, I kind of agree with that. As a matter of fact, I always thought that Obama was going to try and stay in the
office. I'm going to go way back eight gears and change and say he doesn't want to be president, he wants to be king.
Yes, he does.
And if throwing her to the sharks is all it takes, that's what he's going to do. And we're going to wake up one morning in September or at the latest in October. And, you know, they always talk about the October surprise, the October mm-hmm. surprise. The October surprise is, surprise, we're not having an election.
Yep.
You're stuck with me until we can get something together in a constitutional crisis mode, which gives him the ability to implement all kinds of powers acts mm-hmm. that people aren't aware even exist.
Well, let me just say, though, what if that did happen? Okay. Do you think the American people would rise up? Or would you just be quiet?
I don't know, and I'll tell you why. Because he's been making great, grandiose gestures about signing the United Nations Arms Treaty.
Yeah, I know.
And we've discussed this before. It's a treaty. He can't do that. He can sign anything he wants.
Mm-hmm. It has to be.
Yes, he can promise to do anything he wants to promise to do. He can swear to God to do anything he wants to swear to God he's going to do. Yes. All this stuff is moot because without, you know, a full ratification by plebiscite of mm-hmm. two-thirds of the states mm-hmm. by virtue of the Senate, it's a treaty. He can't
right.
just enact, you know.
That's
so,
right.
you know, like everybody freaking out because Rand Paul's got this thing about, you know, he's got this thing going to... Which is, I'm sorry, in my opinion, is nothing but, you know, gathering funds for a 2020 run.
Right.
But, you know, and I'm not, it's not that I dislike the guy. It just, you know, it's thinly veiled and a lot of the people are jumping up and down on this because they get so freaked out over, you know, this, that, and the other. But the thing is, he's promising all this stuff because he knows he's going to be able to deliver. Because the constitutional process will be suspended. Because Hillary will get sick, and who knows, God forbid, you know, Allah has sholem, you know, God forbid she dies.
Well, okay, all right, so right now, there are probably a bunch of people out there going, uh-oh, tinfoil hat time, Lou and Emery have lost it.
No.
But seriously,
I'm not saying it's gonna happen, I'm just saying this is a possibility that could happen.
Well, you know, with this administration, with these people, yes, I agree with you. I agree. I mean, considering all the other stuff that he has enacted.
They'll crawl out of the wood. Kennedy's from all across the fruited plain and Biden and Pelosi and the guy with the flipped over Guam and, you know, all these people, they're going to be jumping up and down, back and forth. Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson and Chavez and all these other. Oh, and the Mexicans and the Iraqis and the Iranians and the Syrians, they're all going to go crazy nuts, cuckoo. Oh, the Constitution of the United States was suspended. Let's give these powers to the president. Well, we can't. Well, we're going to do it anyway. We're going to get, and you know what? If we don't get it, we're going to sit on the floor in the House chamber.
Oh, here we go. Yeah, I know. Let's see what happens, though. I mean, I think that Hillary wants... this office so badly that I think that she wouldn't stop at anything, which includes, by the way, voter fraud. All of a sudden, all those military votes from overseas, they were lost or
right.
they just weren't distributed properly. The ones for Italy went to Germany, ones for Germany went to the Philippines, one for the,
mm-hmm.
you know. So
yeah, and in the meantime, when's the last time we had an election, you know, in the last two cycles where there wasn't all kinds of presumed impropriety about, you know, the military alone is enough to shake your faith in the system.
I know. But you know, the thing is, that's really amazing that I've been reviewing two things. Larry Sabato, okay, who is the director of political science at University of Virginia. He heads a Center for Politics. There we go. And he said, it looks like Hillary already has 273 electoral votes. It's like, where are you getting this stuff? Nope. And then you have the Washington Post that comes out and says, Hillary is looking past the election. You know, she's already planning her first 100 days in the White House. It's like, have any of you taken a look at the rallies?
Oh, not for nothing, but, you know, so is Trump. You know, I mean, that's typical.
No, but the way the Washington Post said it, though,
as if it's a given, a foregone.
It's a given. It's a foregone conclusion. But the thing is, it's like, and I'm like, Larry Sabato, I used to have such respect for him. But now it's like, forget it. You know, have any of you taken a look at the rallies? I mean, hers get 100, you know. His get 10,000, for God's sake.
Well, there was a comparison chart I saw. I don't know, was it Twitter? Was it Facebook? Or was it, you know, IJR or something? But I saw a comparison thing, and it showed... Mm-hmm. You know, real live attendees at rallies and, you know, and versus campaign spending, by the way.
Yeah.
And his rallies have attendance, just the rallies, not $35,000 plate dinners, just regular plain old rallies, mm-hmm. you know, have tens and tens of thousands of attendees. And, you know, hers are like, you know, several hundred. In comparison, and yet she spent $14 million and he has spent zero.
Yeah, I know. Plus the latest Rasmussen poll, in which they're showing that Hillary still has the edge, right? Yet 41%, they're saying Trump has 39%, Johnson has 9%, and Stein 3%. I don't know.
Johnson is picking up. Johnson is picking up a lot of the nevers that really are truly never.
Yeah, I know. There are people out there that I have actually stopped following on Twitter because they're never Trump, and it's like, are you out of your mind? And then one guy said, I'm actually going to vote for Hillary. It's like, and yet he says, on his, his introductory page that he's Catholic and pro-life.
Well, you know...
Wait a minute. No. I'm sorry. You cannot be Catholic and pro-life and vote for Hillary with any kind of conscience. You cannot.
You know what? I'm Catholic and pro-life, so I'm not sure that I could in good conscience vote for Trump. But I can in good conscience vote for Hillary?
That's what he's saying. He's voting for Hillary.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you know something? Maybe it's time for you to say, hi, my name is, in a meeting somewhere.
Somewhere, Or, pick up a book of Catholic theology,
Take a look. Or go to confession.
And start reading a lot of the basic tenets and beliefs of Catholicism and, Catholic 101.
Speaking of Catholic, by the way, I took some quizzes. I don't know if you saw the results.
No.
Yeah, I'm not big for those online games and all that other kind of stuff, but a quiz came along saying, which Dominican saint are you?
Uh-oh. Oh. Okay. So who are you?
St. Catherine of Siena.
Okay.
And then there's
one for the guys and one for the girls.
No. It's just based on your answers, this is the saint you most represent, St. Catherine of Siena.
Okay, for those of us out there who do not know who Catherine of Siena was, could you please enlighten them?
Catherine of Siena was a virgin. And
which, right now...
Well, no, because...
If you knew anything nowadays. About Lou, folks, he is so far away from me.
Hey... Hey, look, not for nothing, but contrary to popular belief, there was a time when I was a virgin. I wasn't born despoiled.
The age of eight. Eight, perhaps. Okay.
All right, 12. Yeah, eight, but, and if you count when I had a partner, 13, but the whole thing was...
Go ahead. Catherine of Siena, virgin.
And she was martyred because they wanted her to renounce, and they took her, and they were going, and they raped her, and they beat her, and they cut her throat, which is why if you see her in the representations in the catacombs, she's got her throat cut. And she's a major player in the Old World Saints. And the Dominicans, you know, if you go by their theology, by virtue of St. Dominic, and they became the Brown Friars, mm-hmm. was the Dominicans.
Right.
And then I turned around and I went and I took the one underneath it, which was the Franciscans.
Okay.
And which Franciscan saint do I, you know, most closely identify with? And I answered all the questions. Now the Franciscans are the Black Friars, and I turned up San Francisco d'Assisi.
Ah, of course.
So not only am I Franciscan, I am the.
The Saint Francis.
So anyhow, that is aside. But I'm talking about the fact that Jesuits? I can look at these. I can look. Yeah, that's me. I'm for the birds. You know. But I'm saying, you know, here is all this theology, and you can't tell me that you can understand what we just talked about for 3-4 minutes. And subscribe to that, or hold to that, or ascribe to that, or any of that stuff, and vote in good conscience for Hillary Clinton.
I know. Anybody who says that they are a either evangelical Christian, a born-again Christian, a serious Catholic, you know.
That's why they know that Jesus was born in the Holy Land, and he wasn't born in Arkansas.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they couldn't find 3 wise men and a virgin.
Yeah, exactly. But, no, the thing is, you know, there is such... Now, there is such a... Wait a minute. We got to back up here because when we start talking about...
You just got the joke? Oh, okay.
No, I kind of just, you know, let it fly. Over my head, just let it go.
That's where I thought it went, over your head.
Let it... No. I chose...
Like the joke about the airplane. That's all right. Most of my jokes are like...
I chose not to comment. I said, let it go. Let it over my head. Oh,
all right. Go ahead. You were saying, I'm sorry.
God,
I did it to you again. I'm on...
As you sleep, kiddo. where was I naming? Got to back up here because one thing we didn't talk about the Trump campaign is that he has a new campaign manager. Sorry, I'm getting tongue tied here. I'm like, campaign manager Paul Manafort is no longer. He's out. Kellyanne. Conway.
As in New Hampshire. Conway.
I'm going nuts here.
Like Tim.
Yeah, okay. She's taken over. I understand. She was a girl from Jersey. Jersey girl?
Yes. I remember seeing something. I don't remember where, but I remember seeing something like that. But you know what? All the good ones are from Jersey.
Yeah, what do you want? Yeah. But the reason why they said Paul Manafort left is because of his ties to pro-Russian Ukrainian politicians, which ticks me off to no end to begin with on that.
Why? Because Uma Abedin has all those ties to the Arab Brotherhood?
That ticks me off too. But you know what? No, what really ticks me off is the fact that just proves my point that if you're a political hack, you have no morals. You don't. Here we are. We have...
He's an aberration. He has been forever.
I don't care. Do not care. But once you start becoming a political consultant or whatever, it seems like you will go anywhere and do anything to get a job. And that's on both sides of the aisle, okay? I mean, don't forget... was it James Carville was over in Israel fighting against Benjamin Netanyahu. He was consulting with Netanyahu's opponent at that point.
Yeah.
But, you know, who definitely was, you know,
I mean,
anti-American.
Look at all these people.
But really, what really ticks me off about Manafort is that here we have a problem in Ukraine. You have Putin amassing 40,000 troops at the border of Ukraine and Russia. And that's not going to end well. Let me just tell you that right now.
It didn't end well the last three times.
Well, it's not going to end well even this time. It's going to end even worse because we have a weak leader. And he might do it right after the election, if he does it at all, our election, because Obama would be too afraid to do anything, and Donald Trump will not have the clout at that time and you know, the backing of our law in order for him to do anything. So that's a possibility. He'll probably make initial forays into Ukraine, you know, kind of just go in a bit, see how it, you know, test their
military. Stick his toe in the water the way he did with the Crimea,
Exactly.
Yeah.
Test their military might, see what they have there, check their defenses, check the mood of the Ukrainian politicians. But for Paul Manafort to do this and to go and consult with pro-Russian Ukraine, I mean, that to me is, he shouldn't even be around. But the thing is that you had, which just really ticks me off even more, I mean, this just gets better and better. You had Hillary Clinton's campaign manager, Mook, comes out and says, well, obviously, you know, here he is, you know, backing those who are with the Russians. And, you know, obviously, you know, Trump doesn't want to be bothered with somebody who has ties like that, considering that he probably has ties to Russia and everything, too. It's like, oh, I'm sorry. Let me think. Uranium? Hillary? Russia? And you have the damn nerve to come out and say that? So, Paul Mook, you're another one that's a
You know,
load
Paul
of crap.
Mook, Karl Rove, Manafort, Dick Morris, you know, all these, you know, Jadrules. They, like you said, once you become, you know,
Robbie Mook. I'm sorry, I made a mistake.
Robbie, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. I didn't catch you, and I'm sorry, but. You know, but the idea being that, you know, all of these people, once you get, it's like I've always said about the generals, once you get, the more stars you put on your shoulder, the less of a soldier you are and the more of a political, you know, animal you are. It's the same thing here. Once you get into, if you're not in elective office, but you've been around campaigns and all this other stuff, you know, all your life, and it's like, oh, you know, I see them introduced on all the different TV news networks and stuff. And political strategists, Democratic strategists, Republican strategists. And, oh, they've been doing this since, you know, I don't know, Ike, for crying out loud.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
You know, whether it's Ike or Carter or, you know, Nixon or Clinton, you know, depending on which side, it doesn't really matter. You know, these people, this is what they've been doing. Is they quote-unquote political strategists for this entire time. You know something? You're not going to find one. You're going to find more skeletons in their closet than in a candidate's closet.
Yeah. Yeah. They're not exactly, squeaky clean, believe me.
I look at this and I'm like, you know something? Look, all right, so he brought on this cute chick from Jersey, and she's going to pick up some of the women vote, and he got rid of the other guy because of the Russian ties, which I'm still not convinced of, but hey, you know, if that's the excuse they want to use. You know, especially in as you mentioned, pointed out so perfectly, you know, what little passing tie he may have had to some group, you know, in the face of the uranium scandal, in the face of Uma Abedin, having worked for 10 years in an Islamicist journal, you know, and having ties she does to Arab Spring and Muslim Brotherhood, et cetera, you know, all of these things. And then, you know, with bringing up that, you know, and I don't want to, don't even freaking think of going there. I am not detracting from the service of a United States departed soldier, but... You know, bringing up the fella onto the stage, the quote-unquote Gold Star father, you know, Kazir Khan or whatever his name is.
He didn't give a damn whether he was Gold Star or not.
No, but here he is, and he's an Islamist.
Yes.
with ties to Islamic sympathizing outfits.
Yeah.
You know, and they're staring over the shoulder of the people in the front row at the father of the Orlando shooter with his freaking camel hair looking mustache stuck to the front of his face. You know, so what, you know something? If Manafort had the occasional tie to somebody who wrote an article for TASS, you know, that's one thing.
Yeah.
I know it's deeper than that. I know. But, you know, I mean, how far do you want to weigh this? You know, this is why when I opened the show and I said, we, it's more important how we represent the world on the sports page than on the front page.
Yeah, I know. But you see, the thing is, too, it's like, but you have to take a look at exactly. You had Mook out there going, well, you know, Kremlin, you know, Trump's a Kremlin puppet, you know, so on and so forth. He goes on and on and on about that. But, you know, okay, so Trump, hello. I hope somebody out there is going to be saying something like, well, I'm sorry, Clinton Foundation, Hillary, uranium,
Soros.
Russia. Is anybody going to say this stuff? Or is this just going to let it go? Is everybody just going to let it go?
No, I'm sure. No, I'm sure somebody's going to say it. I'm
somebody
sure.
Somebody better come out and say it.
And if they didn't say
ridiculous.
It yet so far, I'll put it out there, and you'll put it out there, and two of us will put it out there, and hopefully somebody with a bigger mouth than us.
Yep.
Wait. I don't think there are any. But, I mean, if
probably
there are,
not.
Maybe
probably
don't pick
not.
It up.
Yeah, true. Probably not. And, by the way, the...
You know what I think of us? You remember the old opening to Morton Downey Jr.'s show with that mouth? You remember that on the TV?
Speak for yourself,
sir. Oh, well, I was talking about me. Who do you think
I'm
I was talking about?
I'm glad you are, because... So anyway, Germany, by the way, is encouraging people to stockpile food, water. Why? Why? Can somebody tell me why?
Because it's about to go the same way as Venezuela? Because
Maybe.
It's about to go the same way as Cuba? Because it's about to go the same way as... And I don't
Germany.
Mean necessarily by virtue of the economic system. Well, I mean, just by virtue of the fact that it's going to fall. I mean, we're talking Leningrad here.
Well, I don't know. All of Germany's going is going. I think what's going to happen is that civil war is going to start breaking out there. You know, I tweeted yesterday. Let's see, World War One, World War Two, and the Muslim invasion. Germany screwing up Europe for the third time. You know,
the third time.
It's just like, what is wrong with this country? God in heaven. This is like, you know.
Oh, they've been screwing up ever since they kicked Amadeus to Austria. You know,
oh,
but. No, they are. They're screwing it up. And you know, I saw an interesting graphic of Angela Merkel sitting in the back of a limousine, and she had this absolutely haggard face on.
You know, you can tell me that all you want. You know, I just want her the heck out of there. And,
yeah, and it said, that face you make when you realize you just doomed an entire continent.
Yes, definitely. Goodbye, Europe, for heaven's sake. Now, the thing is that you have Hollande, Renzi, and Merkel. They're meeting to try and save the EU. Okay, good luck. Because you guys are using, a third
what's
of
what's
your...
What's that other guy's name? Geertz?
What?
Geertz, from the Low Countries up there.
Geert Wilder? Wilder?
Wilder, Violet, what, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
In the meantime, they're like, they're all writing these things saying, we're screwed, we are so screwed, we're so screwed, blued and tattooed.
The thing is that you have more and more, you have more of their funds going to take care of these people. You know, these Muslims that are coming over. Thing is that Angela Merkel had a meeting with the heads, the CEOs of some of the biggest companies in Germany. And she said to them, it is up to you to hire a lot of these people. And it's just like, how can they hire these people? These people don't have any skills. Not only do they not have skills, they don't even speak German, for God's sake.
And don't care to.
And don't, exactly.
And now that's why the biggest companies in Germany are going to be biggest companies in Germany until probably next weekend, when they'll be the biggest companies in the Dominican Republic.
Yeah, well, you never know.
You know, or the Cayman Islands or Switzerland or...
Belize or, you know, I mean, you know, pick one. Or Costa Rica. I mean, you know. Or, hey, you know what? Wait until January 1st, and if Trump comes in, folks, I'm
sure they'll be the biggest companies in America.
You betcha, baby. I mean, I'm sure he'll welcome you with open arms.
It's something. They're getting...
What
you know, literally out
people?
To dry, and people say, why did Brexit, why was it all, Brexit was all about the refugee crisis. No, it really wasn't, but...
It wasn't, but I think that was the last
straw.
Well,
it was a piece of it. That was a great big bite out of that apple, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, that said, those people are going to be sitting there, and they're going to wake up the old home guard, and they're going to be lined up on the White Cliffs of Dover with old 1929 Lee Enfield Mark III rifles.
No, I'll be honest with you. I think Germany has a bigger chance of fighting back than the UK does.
Well, maybe
I
so,
do.
But...
I do,
you know,
because This has been going into Great Britain drips and drabs over the past 30 years. These people have been funneling in there, and you know, you review a lot of the news articles about what was going on, and this has been going on for at least 30 years. Germany, this is something new. Okay, these people were not always going in there. Merkel just opened up the gates, and these people flooded in, but. You know, UK, I think UK's got a... Well, look what they have in London. They have a Muslim mayor.
Yes,
and he's restricting things.
But I think, you know, we're going to see lot of problems because of the fact that everybody's jumping up and down on Trump and what kind of racist he is because he wants to establish a safe zone in Syria.
I see nothing wrong
with Syrian
that.
Refugees, protected, fed,
you know,
clothed...
Yes, but you know what? That's not what they want. None of these people want that. They want an invasion force of Muslims throughout the world. 12th Caliphate.
But the thing is that our liberal, progressive, left-wing, fifth column,
media.
People, they want to say, you can't. Just have them, and I've said, you've said, we've all said since, you know, before 9/11, and ever, especially since, why are they coming here? Why aren't they going to these huge Muslim countries
exactly.
with all this oil money, with all this land and all this room, you know, where they already have a thing, it's not a hadza or whatever it's called, but there's a part of whether it's Sharia law or what, there's something that says, thou shalt be, kind to the stranger who comes into your village. And, you know, they should be all over this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Well, you know what? The rest of the Muslim world doesn't want them because they're troublemakers. And they don't want to go to the rest of the Muslim world because they got to come here. They can't change the way things are in a Muslim country. They're already Muslim. They got to come here in the West and infiltrate. And become cells in this.
Right.
So that's why they're all... But the thing is, our social justice warriors are so freaking blind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're still standing there defending all of this crap.
Oh, yeah, I know. And they're going to continue.
And,
they're overusing Well, they're overusing the word racist again. And people have stopped listening. Because people are now starting to say, wait a minute, Islam is not a race. And more people have to get that out. Islam is not a race. Islam is a culture. And Islam is a theocracy. The main
antithetical
part of it,
to ours.
Well, yes, obviously. It's a 7th century culture. It has never developed. And they are going throughout the West trying to change 21st century Western civilization back to 7th century Muslim culture. I don't want that. Do you want that? Heck no. I'm sorry. I do not want to cover my hair.
And I'll tell you why I believe it.
Okay.
Because if they were all landing by their thousands in New York, L.A., Frisco, Dallas, Galveston, Boston, you know, etc., and they were coming in boats the way, you know, the boats came over from Italy, from Ireland, you know, from China,
right.
from wherever, I'd say, you know something, you know, maybe there's something to be said, but they're invading every little hamlet.
Mm-hmm.
in all kinds of places in North Dakota and Minnesota and Arkansas and Maine and, you know, West Virginia.
Yep.
And California, you know, northern, not just in L.A. or Frisco, you know, and Utah. Utah. Yep. Where isn't it Utah where a bunch of students are suing the school system?
No, that's in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Oh, it's Pennsylvania.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they're saying that, oh, we're not getting the type of education that we're supposed to get. Excuse me, all to hell? Excuse me.
A 21-year-old kid.
Wait a minute. Where you're coming from, is everyone allowed to go to school? No. Okay, number one. Number two, do you have to pay? Probably. To go to school? Yeah, I'll bet you. And now you come here and you say it's not good enough? Get the hell out of here, folks! Seriously, leave.
But they talk about this and there's seven people and they go from 17 to 21.
Yeah, I know.
Right? All right, now wait a minute now. Mind you, we talk about often about the fact that, you know, all these poor widows and orphans, but there's battle-aged men in there. By the time I was 21, I had a Purple Heart.
Yeah, I know. That's right. By the time I was 21, I finished college and I was getting a job. You know, here, let me just read you. It says here, it says the students who range from 17 to 21 are from Somalia, Sudan, Democratic Republic of the Congo, and Burma. They wanted to enter McCaskey High School in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, but was sent to Phoenix Academy, an alternative high school for underachieving students in the district. Well, yes, because you have not had
the benefit. You're 21 years old and you're still in sophomore year. Hell yes.
Exactly, yes. It's like, oh my God. And they've been traumatized, by the way, by the security measures at the academy, including pat-downs and property measures.
If they stayed in Somalia and the Democratic Republic and the Congo, et cetera, Sudan.
They would have gotten killed.
First of all, the picture I saw showed several female who wouldn't have been allowed in school in the first place. You know what the security measures for them would have been?
Yeah.
Beheading. Or stoning.
Yep.
Or caning. Or what have you. That was the security measures they would have faced in their homelands.
I'm so sick of the.
Like, you're 21 years old. You're a sophomore in high school. I'm sorry, we don't allow American people to be 21 years old and a sophomore in high school.
No.
You come here and you want to. Look, you come here and you want to squawk. You know, like that stunad, that the fencing, that, oh, you can't let that white American male carry the flag, you know, the swimmer who's got gold medals dripping off every, you know, joint in his body.
Yep.
Right? But we got to have this other Jidrul who didn't win anything.
Yeah.
Carry the flag because she wears a sock on her head.
Yeah, I know.
You know, and it's like, we have to be inclusive. Yeah, well, include the people who win the medals. Isn't that what it's for?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, well,
and
you're
Michael
not being inclusive.
Michael Phelps.
She turns around and she says, well, you know, in America, I don't always feel safe. I got news for you. I spent some time in the last few days looking at places like Haditha, Fallujah, and Aleppo and stuff like that on television. You don't feel safe here? Go there.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't like the education you're getting here? Go there.
Yeah.
You come here, hat in hand. You know what? If somebody throws alms in your hat, good for you.
But
you come here, hat in hand, and we throw a quarter in there, and you throw it back at us and say, you dirty dog, you should throw me a dollar.
Yeah, I know.
I think the old expression is they're biting the hand that feeds them.
Oh, but they don't care, because that was their intention. And if they figure, if they scream racism and you're being prejudiced against me, if they scream that loud enough, they'll get whatever they want. But let me tell you
something. And the mainstream media is perfectly willing to give it to them.
Of course they are. Of course they are. You know, because, I mean, did you see that latest thing? What was it, CNN? What was that? The chick that did the crying over the little Syrian boy that's in the ambulance? And that the
cameras aren't. Oh, he died, by the way.
I thought his brother died.
Oh, all right. Maybe it was his brother.
Well, Well, anyway,
whatever. Little
sitting, yeah, she's sitting there. She's crying her eyes out over this, reporting this. And it's like, I'm sorry. Did you cry when any of these people in the United States were killed? Did you cry when any of those 84 people over in Nice, France, those little children, were killed? Did you cry then?
Or how many little children in Israel every year?
Yes.
By rockets fired indiscriminately from Gaza?
I wonder if she was given a raise.
Liberal media lady, did you cry over any of the gay people in that Orlando nightclub attack?
Well, no.
Did you cry over them?
Let's just keep it to kids. Let's just keep it to kids. And, you know, I didn't, you know, hear...
What about all the kids? What about all the kids that may or may not have perished in Louisiana this past week?
Oh, come on. I can go back. What about the children on those planes on 9/11, dear?
Oh, okay. No. But I'm talking about this is... You know what? This woman, it's probably a history lesson to her. She probably wasn't alive yet then.
I don't care. But, you know, that's amazing. That is amazing.
But they scream about this crap, and you've got Sally Cohn on CNN saying that you people don't know what's real. Islam is a pro-feminine religion.
I know.
If you read and study the Quran, you'd realize that Islam is a very pro-woman religion.
Yeah, but they're not... Well, you know what?
And not for nothing, but I look at her picture, her bio picture on CNN, and I'm like, how the hell would you know, mister?
Exactly. I know. And the thing is that she'd be one of the first ones to be put to death if Sharia law is instituted in this country.
I don't know where CNN's still in Atlanta.
I guess so. I don't know. I don't pay attention.
So they take her up to the top of the Peachtree Tower and throw her off?
Oh, yeah, true. Exactly. That's right. Yes, that's true. Yeah. Is she with CNN? I don't even know. Is she MSNBC?
Oh, MSNBC, CNN.
Oh,
what's the difference?
Who
Look,
cares?
All we got to say is MSM. How's that?
Yeah, that's true. I like that. In mainstream media, that's it. That's all it is. As time goes on and you watch these people do their reporting, you realize just how stupid they are. Not only do they not know history, they do not know current events, their education, I mean, must have been, oh my God, where did they get their education?
You're too polite.
They're idiots. I mean,
you're
you
too
know.
Polite.
I'm too polite. Okay.
Yes.
Then what should I be saying, Lou?
You should be saying that they probably do know their history. They probably did study it. But because they're Alinskyites, Trotskyites, Leninists.
No, I think
they're obfuscating the truth to further their agenda.
All right, true. But you know what? A lot of these people, and there have been a few instances where I can't remember the example, but somebody was saying, oh, no, there aren't, 30,000 emails or something like that that were, and one woman is just screaming at the Republican, no, there weren't 30,000 emails that were erased. Oh, you don't know what's going on. You're lying. And it's like, what? You know, where the hell have you been, sweetheart? Don't forget what
Marshall. Because then Jim Comey for Boone or Bain comes out and says, no, it wasn't 30,000, it was 33,000.
33,000, yeah.
Hey, it's only off by 10%.
Yay! But one thing you have to remember the big media guy, Marshall McLuhan? He said that, oh my God, my brain just went down the hill again. I can't.
You gotta start eating more fish.
I gotta start eating something more. I just.
Grandma always told me, fish is a brain of food.
The brain food, yes. You know, funny thing is, I do not like fish.
You know something? That's probably why I'm as not as I am, because I don't like it either.
You don't?
Oh, God, no. I had to eat so much of it when I was a kid, you'd think I'd be a genius.
That's true.
Found out it didn't work, and I said, that's it, I ain't eating no more fish. I didn't like it in the first place.
Well, you know, my mother always tried to feed me fish, and I always hated it. Oh, my gosh, it was horrible. It was
I must confess, I must confess, I do like lox on a bagel with cream cheese and
red
onion.
Do you really?
I do.
Ooh.
I'm not talking about up here in Maine, because I think right now, because it's tourist season, there probably is at least one real bagel in Maine, because somebody brought it up from New York.
Probably.
You know, but other than that, you know, a real, you know, Brooklyn, you know, bagel, which you can still, even if you're in Jersey, you can still get a decent Brooklyn bagel in New Jersey. It's not the same thing as being up here. You know, with nice, thin, shaved lox and nice schmear of cream cheese and a nice, thin paper thin, like read the newspaper through it, slice of red onion. Yeah, I like that. I like that. You know, but that's the only kind of really I like.
I never was able to get into fish. Don't get me wrong. I do eat shrimp. Okay, which isn't really fish. It's, you know, crustacean, you know, and just... I used to eat lobster on occasion.
Well, yeah, I can't. The shrimp and the lobster and stuff, I'm allergic, so I
can't. You're allergic? You know, I didn't know you were allergic.
Yeah, that's great. I moved to Maine, where I'm allergic to the thing that grows wild.
Ding, you know. Dong. Oh, my God.
Yeah, like, I might be the only Jew, in, you know, within range of the four biggest pig slaughterhouses in the world. You know, there it is for free, grown out of the ground, and I can't eat it, right? You know, like, you know, it's silly, but no, I can't eat I can eat bivalves. I can eat the mussels, the clams, the razor shells. I can eat the oysters, you know, and all that other stuff. I just can't eat the bugs.
Yeah,
you know, crabs, lobster, shrimp, you know, any of that stuff I can't eat, you know, which are basically, come on, face it, I can't eat bugs either. You know, I mean, it's the same thing. They just grow underwater. You know, I mean, anybody, look. I'm sorry, I don't want to ruin anybody's afternoon, but look at a crab, a lobster, a shrimp. They're a bug.
I know they are. They're bottom feeders, as they say.
It's not even that. They're bugs. They look like bugs. They're bugs. They got the same number of legs as bugs. They're the same thing as bugs. Look at them. They're bugs. Like those things. You ever see those things they bring up in the nets, and they look like those little critters that run? You lift up a rock in the yard, those little bugs, and you touch them, and they roll up in a little ball. Mm-hmm. They're the exact same. What do you call it? Not gender.
I'm confused.
Species, genus. They're the exact same genus, okay. And stuff as these things they bring up in the and they hold them up, and you always see them on like World's Strangest Creatures, and they're the exact same thing, only they're blue and pink, and they're
that's
this
true.
Big. You know, they're the same animal.
Yeah,
just one
true.
Goes at 30,000 feet below. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sorry, it's a bug. They're all mm-hmm. bugs. I don't eat bugs. I don't even like bugs.
Mm-hmm.
But so anyway, fish. That you know what? We did it again.
What?
We're talking about bugs.
Oh, we gotta stop this. As opposed to Democrats. Okay, now forget about that.
No. I said get off the subject of bugs.
Okay, so we can't talk about Democrats.
Right.
But, you know, if you control the media, you control the message. I believe that was the quote.
Yep.
And that's the thing. Democrats control the media. Therefore, they control the message.
I said something several years back, and I know you heard me say it several years back, and I'm the first one to say it, as far as I know, to quote. If you have to attribute it to somebody, attribute it to me, because I didn't see anybody else say it.
Uh-huh.
In this day and age, the fourth estate is the fifth column.
Yeah. It is.
Mm-hmm. And it just baffles me. It just completely baffles me that, you know, to this moment in time, and I don't remember who said it, but it came across my Twitter feed, so it was obviously somebody we're familiar with, but I don't remember who, said that, you know, literally, Hillary could stand on the body of Chris Stevens, you know, yelling Allahu Akbar, you know, and so, and still not lose the her contingent.
Yeah.
You know, her constituency.
That's true. She could. Because I don't... It makes no difference. And, you know, to hear a lot of these politicians out there saying that they would never vote for Trump because they find him to be bombastic and... you know, they're bringing up reasons that, I'm sorry, when you're talking about saving our country, they're really dumb reasons. They really are. It's like you're bringing up reasons not to vote for Trump, and yet you're going to vote for Hillary, and there goes our country. But that's okay, because you voted your conscience. Right, folks?
Well, my conscience, I've said it before, my conscience tells me to save my nation.
Yeah, mine too. Did you ever, are you familiar, because I studied linguistics in college, one of the linguists that I studied that turns out I cannot stand now as time goes on, Noam Chomsky.
Yes, Noam Chomsky.
Yeah, well, okay, maybe a fantastic linguist, but of course he decided to go into other areas, including, you know, politics and leftist thing. And one of his things that he did say, every time I hear him open his mouth, it's like, oh, shut up, Noam. He said, any dictator would admire the uniformity and obedience of the U.S. media. Interesting.
Oh, that's interesting.
Isn't that interesting? But of course, oh. You know, he is very...
This is a guy who should know. Yeah.
Yes, I was going to say, obviously, yes, he does know. And the Olympics is almost over, thank God.
Oh, thank God.
And NBC has lost a lot of viewership, of course, because nobody really gives a hoot anymore. Although I have to admit, I do like the gymnastics, and I watch the gymnastics.
Yes, I didn't watch any because it's just, you know, even though I was very gymnastics-oriented in high school and stuff, I just don't watch it because I'm sorry. There's way too much reality out there biting us in the butt to spend any time on fantasy, you know? And you know, I mean, look, all right, watching the gymnastics, you know something? I could almost give you that, you know what I mean? But watching sailing... You know, all right, I could give you watching boxing. You know, I could give you that. Or wrestling, Greco-Roman wrestling. I could give you that. But watching ping pong or rhythmic exercise. Or
well, you know, one that gets me is synchronized swimming.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you're kidding, right? Really?
I mean, when you get to the point where Saturday Night Live does a skit based on your sport, yeah, maybe it's time you picked something else.
I know. Yeah, you know. I never could understand synchronized swimming. Honest to God, I never could.
Well, I'd you know what? Watch, I can.
I'd rather watch 10 swimmers in a lane, each in their own lane, trying to win a contest, a race.
I get it, though. I do get it, because I remember all those almost Busby Berkeley-esque movies with the swimmers. What was it? Sonja Henie or whatnot?
Sonja Henie was the ice skater.
Ice skater.
Esther Williams.
I couldn't watch that.
It was like, oh, for God's sake.
You know, and watching
Busby
the commercial.
Busby Berkeley was with the dancers.
Yes. And
the
watching
camera
the
overhead. Yeah.
The commercials during Saturday morning cartoons for Weeki Wachee down there. You know, and the mermaids at Weeki Wachee and the glass bottom boats and stuff. So I could understand the idea. But to make it an Olympic sport. I'm sorry, I can't understand, and look, don't get me wrong, I mean, if you like to play golf, good for you, God bless you, but watching it on TV, you know, there's grass growing that makes more fun, paint drying that's got to be much more exciting.
I like watching pro golf, I love watching PGA, I do,
But an Olympic sport?
No, Olympic sport, no, as a matter of fact, I did not watch anything on that, no. I'd rather see people like Phil Mickelson and
I'll tell you something. You want to make
and you know Bubba Watson and the rest of those guys.
You want to make golf not so much golf. Golf. Synchronized swimming. You want to make it a sport? All right.
Yeah.
Make it a Winter Olympic sport.
What? Oh.
Yeah.
Then you'll see
go out to whatever the lake is where the Winter Olympic Village is. Cut a hole in the ice. And say, if you two can wave your arm in the same way for more than 10 seconds, you win. You know.
Oh, wait a minute. You see what the intensity of blue is on each of the competitors.
Right,
Who is the bluest?
Oh, you win. You don't get gold, silver, and bronze. You get blue, pink, and purple. You know what I mean?
Look at the swimmer from Australia. My gosh, that is Jamaica. Such a lovely,
like the bobsled team.
Shade of blue, folks.
But the Jamaican bobsled team, if you made them in synchronized, how would you know if they won or not?
I know.
You know, it's like, you want to make golf an Olympic sport, play it in the snow with white balls. No orange, no yellow, none of that. No, white. Play the ball from where it lies, baby. You know.
No, but
take the stroke. You know, come on, take the stroke.
I loved watching Simone Biles win her medals. She's an amazing. Gabby Douglas also. I forget her first name. Reisman was the last name. But I'll tell you, their performances were out of this world. I mean, Simone Biles was doing the mat, okay? She was on the mat, not the synchronized. Floor exercises, thank you. And the girl seemed to fly up in the air, and once she was up in the air, she flew even higher. I mean, amazing. She would
Huh? She could push herself off the air molecules to go even higher still.
Oh my gosh.
I remember watching Olga Corbett and Mary Lou Retton and people like that. I remember watching that kind of stuff, and it was amazing. No two ways about it. It's absolutely stunning to watch what they can make their bodies do, you know, on command. You know, but there's a big difference between pushing yourself off air molecules to go another 4 feet higher in the air and pushing yourself off water to move your ribbon, you know.
Put the leg up, yes, or, you know, get the hand up. I'm sorry. You know, no offense, folks, but...
I think the only people who really...
somebody who can't swim, by the way, or, you know...
I think the only people who watch that kind of crap are pedophiles anyway, but that's besides...
What?
Looking up their bathing suits and stuff, you know.
Oh, stop. Stop.
Hey, I didn't write that line.
Let me tell you something.
Right, you know, so...
There were a bunch of guys out there that love watching the volleyball on the beach. I mean, you know, with the girls in the bikinis. Ooh, you know, that's all they could talk about.
But
wait a minute, hang on.
What really kills me is because
sports. Go ahead.
What really kills me is I don't actually watch any of it. But I mean, the few pieces that go by in the news feeds, watching the ladies beach volleyball. First of all, I can understand volleyball. I used to play volleyball. I enjoyed volleyball. I had a lot of fun playing volleyball. I actually got to be, you know, not too completely spastic playing volleyball. But beach volleyball, I don't understand it quite, especially since by the time you put these little bikinis and stuff on the women who are playing...
You're not watching the ball?
No, you might as well watch the ball because there wasn't really much of anything else to look at.
What do you mean? Come on. You think
Come on. This wasn't Marilyn Monroe playing beach volleyball. This wasn't Raquel Welch. This wasn't Gina Lola Bridget. This wasn't Sophia Loren. This was Twiggy.
Okay.
You know,
What the hell
are you watching?
Okay. But wait a minute, since we are talking about sports now, okay?
Speaking of sports.
Dun-dun-dun. Preseason football has started, and I have been watching it and enjoying it. One thing I've noticed that sets this year apart, actually, from other years of preseason football is that a lot of the players are taking these games a little bit more seriously than they really should. You know, not that they shouldn't take them seriously, but to the point where two players were ejected from the Kansas City game that I was watching last night for fighting. I mean, they got into it, and they were throwing punches and everything, and they were both ejected.
Wait, you said football, right? Not hockey?
Yeah, no, football. Yep. Yep. So it's like, guys, come on, huh? Knock it off, you know? I'm thrilled at that too, because now I feel I can breathe again, because I really haven't taken a deep breath since February.
My buddy Ted was at the Patriots preseason game yesterday down in
the other day, yesterday, the day before, we almost lost that one.
And he was down there, and he said that they kept trying to get him to pass, but they said, but you're not under any pressure.
Is there a joke in there somewhere and I didn't get it? It
has to do with the ball.
Oh, okay. Okay. You know what? I'm going to say this again. I really didn't get it, dear, but that's okay.
You're going to throw the football or not? Well, you're not under any pressure.
Oh, all right. Well, no, but Jimmy Garoppolo looks good, I have to admit. And
this
Tom
idea.
Brady. Well, Jimmy Garoppolo is taking the place of, he's a second string, second quarterback. And he's taking the place of Tom Brady right now because Tom Brady has been suspended for 4 games because of that lovely little deflate gate.
Yeah, that's why I said he's not under any pressure.
No, 4 games. But let me just tell you this. There is a player, and his name is, oh, I'm trying to remember. Darnish. I'm trying to remember. You know, sorry, the brain is gone. There's a player out there who was suspended for 4 games because of substance abuse, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, gee, oh, well, he was given 1 game back. He said, hey, you know, you can do this. You can, but you know, substance abuse, which is not only against league rules, but it's also illegal.
Yeah, and, oh, yeah.
Oh, gee, so they changed it from 4 to 3, and yet a lousy deflated ball, which, by the way, I'm still one of those people that do not believe it. I think they're just trying to give the Patriots a smack in the face. Oh,
or a
oh,
handicap.
No. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, a handicap. And it's just really ticking me off on that. Oh, but no. It has got to be 4 games. All right.
Well,
we'll see.
My issue.
I can't stand Roger Goodell.
My issue with football is the same as it has ever been.
I don't think he's ever played.
My big issue with football is that, you know, why does a guy wearing a helmet carrying a ball make so many millions of dollars more than a guy wearing a helmet carrying a rifle?
I know. To me,
that's
still
always
make
been
any
my,
sense.
You know, look, when I was in the Army, we played some, you know, some softball or baseball or threw a football around, you know, this, that, and the other thing. I'm not saying I don't understand which shape which ball is. But when it comes right down to who's a hero,
I know. I agree with you.
I don't agree that any of those people you just mentioned in a row are heroes.
I know. No. I never said that any of them were heroes.
No. But the idea is that they... And it's only a question of time until that castle starts to crumble, too. And I think this is one of those things that... I think this is a... what do they call it? Not a shake-up... a razor that needs to be taken to some stubble here. There's got to be an equalization.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's nothing wrong with wanting to pass the time, whether it's by football, baseball, golf, ping pong. There's nothing wrong with that. But when we look at the fact that a guy takes a couple of, you know, his kids to the ballpark and they want to watch a game and have a hot dog and a thing of popcorn and a Coke, you know, the guy's on the hook for a mortgage payment.
No, definitely. I agree with you on that one. Yeah.
And then they argue over whether or not they should fight on the field or whether or not they should
with you on that. Don't
what have you and stuff like that. I think there's going to be a comeuppance involved because, it just doesn't make sense for things to keep escalating. And again, it doesn't matter if it's football, NASCAR, golf, any of this stuff. You know, even going to the movies nowadays is a $10 bill each. You know, and that's, you know, if you bring your own food, which they throw you out for.
Yeah, exactly.
Which really annoyed me because, you know, the prices are so high, and besides, I hadn't had a barbecue in a long time. But so, you know, the idea is that I think we're going to have to start seeing some of this come to some sort of equalization. And I don't say that in some sort of populist, you know...
No social justice attitude.
No social justice attitude. Just saying that when you get right down to it, boys and girls, you know, we've got problems facing us now that are going to require our full attention.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
You know, and bread and gladiators just ain't going to get it.
No, it's not. I do want to bring this up, and when I saw it, I almost threw up, but I have to talk about it real quick. I saw on Twitter one of my followers, a person that I follow, posted a picture of a cat.
Oh, I saw it.
Had been decapitated. I just want to tell people this.
I saw it.
By these piece of crap Muslims. Which I think, now, if you're one of these people that, you know, can't stand me because I don't want Muslims here, but if you like animals, maybe you should think this all over. Rethink your attitude about them, because they have no respect for not only for people, but for innocent animals.
I believe they were Sudanese?
Something like that. Ethiopian, I think. Something like
or
that.
Ethiopian. Or Eritrean.
Something. Who knows?
East
who
African somewhere.
Well, yeah, all I can say is that they were Muslims.
And they were smiling like...
I know. You little pieces of crap. Oh, that poor animal. And I swear to God, I hope your deaths are the most horrible, painful, and prolonged agony. Prolonged agony that you will ever go through.
You know, I can understand, you know, a lot of things about war. But when you
that's
get right...
That's not war.
That's not war. That's sadistic. That's sadistic sickness.
But that's Islam.
You know, but you know what? Look, they tell you all the time when they on these TV shows with Joe Mantegna and Manny Patinkin and all these things, that they say, oh, you know, well, you know, when he was a kid, he used to, you know, abuse hamsters and you know, poison pigeons and you know, that kind of stuff, you know, and that's the first sign of a psychopath, is the fact that they abuse animals when they're kids. These are adults abusing an animal. Mm-hmm. How far down the evolutionary scale you got to go to find an idiot like this? You know, you mess with me, I'm going to fight back. You mess with my cat, they won't find your body.
I agree.
You know, I'm sorry, you know, you mess with my child, they won't find your body.
No.
You know, you'd better hope Allah can put your ass back together from the molecules I'm going to blow you up into, because you're not going to be found.
Yeah, I know. I've just had it. You know what? I've just had it.
I did see a thing today. And I'm trying to remember, I think it was on IJR. It might not have been, but I believe it was on IJR, so don't quote me on this just yet. We'll have to look and find out. The Yazidi women? Mm-hmm. There's an entire brigade of Yazidi women?
Yeah, there is.
Now, and they're going through it, and they start them at like 17, 16 or 17, but won't let them actually go in the battlefield until they're 18. Mm-hmm. And they're training them, and there's some good-looking girls.
Oh, yeah, sure, why not?
You know, all you got to do is look at the calendar of the girls of the IDF, and you'll know all about, you know, what I'm talking about.
Oh,
but,
my gosh, yeah.
But, I mean, there's some good-looking girls. And I'm telling you, they get that, put that dragon of, if I'm screwing the way up, you know, and they put that to their shoulder, and the one that just went out in the battlefield today shot the commander that had used her as a sex slave.
Good. You know, I watched last year, I think it was Frontline on PBS, about Yazidi men who were trying to get back women and children that had been kidnapped by Muslims. And those women, young girls too, you know, 16, 17, 18, that they had rescued, they were telling the most horrible stories about what happened to them.
Of course.
And how they would kill some of the little children.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's...
Oh, the stories of them ripping them open if they found out they were pregnant, and, you know, all this other stuff that I'll talk about. I know you don't like to hear it, and I know the American people don't like to hear it, but I talk about it all the time. And the fact that, because we have quote-unquote sensibilities in this country, and we don't get to see or hear, or whenever we start talking about something like that, everybody puts their fingers in their ears, closes their eyes, and goes, la, 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 la,
yeah,
la,
exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
And, you know, and you can't, everybody's saying, well, you know what, how can the president address the enemy when he won't even name the enemy?
That's right.
Well, how the hell do you expect to name the enemy, address the enemy, or everything else like that if you don't know they're an enemy? And why don't you know they're an enemy? Because you don't get to see why they're an enemy.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And, you know, we see the Yazidis and we see the Syrians, the Copts. We see, you know, the Egyptian Copts and the Lebanese and all these
Christians,
things.
Yeah.
All the Christians that are getting, you know, hacked into pieces, you know, and not killed first.
Mm-hmm.
And set on fire and hanged and all this other stuff. And, of course, they're always, you know, in religion that throws homosexuals off the building. How come they're always sodomized?
Yeah, I know. Isn't that interesting?
You know, and they do all of this stuff to these people. And we don't see it, so we don't realize.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then when we want to let these people in, it's like, oh, all these poor widows and orphans. Like, you know what? Make those poor widows and orphans Christians.
Yeah.
Who really have skin in the fight.
Yeah.
You know, as far as, you know, you want to claim, oh, I'm persecuted. Well, you know what? I think they're up an order of magnitude above some, you know, different sect of Islam. You know, I mean, because if nothing else, they're still Muslim. They can turn around and go, oh, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar. You know, and say, okay, fine. You know what? All right. So look, don't tell them we're Sunni, or don't tell them we're Shiite, or don't tell them we're, you know, whatever. You know, but the Christians, they don't have much of a choice. You know, the Jews, they don't have much of a choice because they're not Muslims of any stripe.
No, they're not.
Mm-hmm. So you want to talk about having a dog in the fight or skin in the game. You know, this is who's got the skin in the game. Get them out of there.
Yeah.
But no, that's too much sense because, after all, aren't we fighting a war against Christianity in this country anymore? Isn't it those terrible, mean, intolerant Christians, you know, like the Pope who washes the feet and kisses the feet of the Muslims?
Yeah, I know. What we and you know the thing is that it just things just keep getting worse and worse and worse. There was a rabbi in France the other day that was attacked. He is, thank goodness, recovering in a hospital. We have a suicide, I don't know why they keep saying it. It's a homicide bomber at a Turkish wedding that killed 50.
Turns oh my God.
Kid was 12 years old. It was a 12-year-old kid. And they said that they think the bomb was remotely detonated.
The part is a 12-year-old kid. 12-year-old kid. He get up there and find 72 virgins. He's not going to know what to do with them.
There you go. Yeah, I know. So... you know, here we are again, folks. You know, it may seem like we're repeating a lot of stuff, but you know, unfortunately, you're not going to hear a lot of this stuff from the mainstream media.
Dozen rockets came out of Gaza yesterday.
Yep, exactly.
It's always on Shabbos. It's always on Shabbos.
Always, yes. Yeah. So, there you go.
Oh, we wasted a little time today.
We did.
Yeah, we're talking about sports.
Oh, excuse me.
NFL.
I'm sorry. I like football. I love football.
One of these days, I will give you my copyrighted diatribe on football.
Well, I'll be honest. To me, football is a cross between a ballet and a battle.
Well, you know, I look at it like this.
Let's not get into the diatribe, but go ahead.
No, we're not going to get into a diatribe, but you know, if that's what you want, let's just bring back rollerball and put all the other people away.
No, I don't like rollerball. I like football because it is between, seriously, it's like a combination of ballet and a battle.
Well, you know what? We could breed plenty of lions. You know, and
oh,
you know what?
Geez.
Now it's time to turn it around. Look, we got all these Muslims around. We put them in the middle of Giant Stadium, right? With a bunch of lions and give each one of them a switchblade or something. And, you know, put, out of every 100 of them, you give 3 of them suicide bomb vests. And
how can you do that to those poor innocent lions?
Oh, you got a point.
There you go.
All right, so don't give them switchblades and don't give them suicide vests. Just let them fight barehanded.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that. You know, you look, if you want gladiatorial combat, we can fix that up right
now. Oh, come on.
I'm not kidding. I'm still one of those people, one of those old, crippled old dudes that actually still believes in public execution.
Oh, I don't mind that.
Look, I'm not saying you have to charge. No, open. You don't have to charge at the gate. Let everybody in for free. Bring your lawn chair, you know.
Oh, God, Lou. No.
You know, you get refreshment stands, but, you know.
No, there are some things I will not do, and public execution, because to me that says, that nothing says public, nothing says Islam more than public execution. Sorry.
Yeah, but we're not throwing you off the, we're not going to hang you for being gay. We're not going to hang you for being a lesbian. And we're not going to hang you for being a Christian. We're not going to hang you for being a Muslim. We're going to hang you if you killed, if you took like this other jamoke up here that took a 4-week-old baby and slammed it into the ground 7 times because he argued with his girlfriend.
Really? Jeez.
Who was asleep under the influence, and he was ticked off, so he picked up the baby, took it outside, slammed it into the cement 4 or 5 times, brought it back in, put it back in the crib.
Has he been convicted yet?
No, they just busted him the other day.
Jesus God in heaven.
You know, Allah Akbar or otherwise, this clown that walks in, I mean, granted he died in the process, but these clowns who walk into a nightclub and start shooting up the scenery, you know, kill 49 people.
I mean, God.
Well, no, of course the baby died, but I'm saying all these things.
That has to be one of the most horrifying things I've heard lately. Jesus.
Or these jamokes in Arkansas that wire-tied or zip-tied a 4-year-old to a bed, and she was abused, and this and the other. She was abused and unsocialized to the point when the cops finally opened the door and asked her what her name was. She said, idiot.
Oh, yes, I heard about that. Yeah. And yet there's the left who will insist that these people should not be sterilized to keep them from having more kids.
Some people shouldn't breed.
Oh, a lot of people shouldn't
breed. But there are other people that shouldn't breathe.
Exactly. Exactly. I think with that, I think we're going to have to start wrapping this up here.
Wrap it up.
Wrap it up.
Like a candy box. All wrapped in bows with a button nose. Judas, she can be. You know where I'm going with that? You know where that came from?
Is that Shirley Temple?
No. That was the theme song from Palisades Amusement Park. Used to have the Little Miss America.
That's right. Do you know one of my cousins was in the Little Miss America pageant?
Oh, I'm sure she was cute as a button.
She was adorable. Yes, she was. She did not win, but... She was in it. Yes, she was. Yeah.
Palisades has the rides. Palisades has the fun. Come on over.
Folks, sorry. We know that this has been an absolutely, in some cases, horrifying podcast.
And in some cases, a whole lot of fun.
A lot of fun. Unfortunately, these things need to be said. And if some of you people haven't heard about these things, well, then you're going to hear it from us. But again, thank you for listening. I want to thank all of you for listening, no matter where you may be.
And comment.
Comment. As we've said before, you know, as long as you're respectful toward us, we will be respectful toward you.
And comment if you...
Wait a minute. If you disagree, it's no problem.
No, as a matter of fact, I prefer it.
Yes.
If you agree with us, well, comment anyway and say, hey, you know, nice job. You know, but if you disagree, come on, take us to task.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
See? This. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, wait. Let me wipe the drool off my chin.
Yeah, he's just waiting. Yeah, he really is. Come on, comment, folks. Yeah.
But from the land of Palisades Amusement Park, where a dime buys the most.
We don't live there anymore.
No, I know we don't, but we did.
Okay.
And that is, of course, in New Jersey, USA. And USA means... May God bless the United States of America.
Samson, speak. Good boy.